Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and board members. I will now call to order our Monday, December 5th, 2011, business meeting and public input. And board members, Ms. Kurtz will not be joining us this evening. We'll be here for tomorrow. This evening, Supervisor Waters will give the invocation and lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, if all will rise.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that have been bestowed upon this county and from every person who has served. Lord, it is a trying task sometimes to be a leader in this county, but thank you for those who step up and serve, from every community volunteer to person on this dais. God, we just appreciate and thank what you've done in our lives and what you've done in this county. Lord, as we move forward, we ask that you give wisdom and guidance to us as we finish out our term and to those leaders who will follow behind us in just a few weeks. Give them what they need to know. Give them the patience. Give them the fortitude to look at each issue and make the right decision that will take this county into the future. God, we pray for those who are not with their loved ones during this holiday season, that are away overseas serving this country. And Lord, we ask for your grace and mercy and comfort to those who have lost loved ones, both through tragic accidents recently, as well as through natural causes. God, thank you for this holiday season, and let us all remember what it's about. In your name, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, board members. The proposed consent agenda for today is items 3A, appointments, motion to approve the nominations from the prior meeting. Item number 4, resolution of appreciation for the Loudoun County Planning Commissioners. Item number 5, resolution of appreciation for Cable and Open Video Systems Commission. Item number 6, resolution of appreciation for the Community Services Board. Item number 7, resolution accommodation for Loudoun County Raiders Girls Volleyball 2011 Regional 2 Champions. Is there a motion to approve as read? Been moved by Ms. Waters. Is there a second? A second by Mr. Miller. Discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? That motion will carry 801. Ms. Kurtz absent for the vote. Our next item is administrator's comments. Mr. Hemstreet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have only one item for my comments this evening, and it is good financial news. The county has sold $5 million in school construction bonds through the Virginia Public School Authority, which the board approved that financing earlier in the year. The interest rate on the bonds is 4.2%. However, at the same time, the federal tax credit rate on those bonds we received is 4.9%, which results in a net interest rate of 0%. So that's certainly good news on those funds, and I thank the financial staff for their hard work in accomplishing that, and particularly with no interest impact to the county. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, and congratulations for the good work. Informational items. Item number 1, briefing item, land development applications for our public hearing on December 12, 2011. Ms. Pastor.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. You have 4 items before you at your public hearing on December 12th. The first is Sterling Chevrolet, which has submitted a minor special exception to revise their approved sign plan. This would decrease the overall sign area but allow larger entry signs. As you know, these minor special exceptions do not include a Planning Commission review. However, the staff is recommending approval of the application, and there are no outstanding issues. The second item is the Harvard Junior Preschool, which is a special exception for a child care center in the R2 district. The applicant is requesting that special exception for the child care center, as well as a reduction in the minimum outdoor play area and a modification to the required planting and buffer yards around the perimeter of the property. The Planning Commission actually heard this two times in 2010 and then had a subsequent public hearing after major redesign and reductions in the scale and intensity of the use in October of this year, October 26th. The Planning Commission is recommending approval, and the staff has no outstanding issues on that application either. The third one is the Holtzman Oil Propane Bulk Storage Facility. That is also a special exception, and it's for an unmanned propane bulk storage facility. It is in the PDGI zoning district. The Planning Commission heard this case also on October 26th, and there were no public comments, and then they had a subsequent work session on November 9th to discuss some of the safety features, and they did vote 9-0 to recommend approval subject to conditions. And staff is also supporting the application, and there are no outstanding issues. The last item is One Loudon, which has submitted a sign development plan. This is your new process for review of sign plans. They are proposing to modify the permitted number, size, height, location, and illumination of signs. The Planning Commission hearing also was on October 26th, and they had a subsequent work session on November 2nd. The Planning Commission was okay with, in large part, with the proposal. There are proposals for electronic signs, and the Commission was okay with the internal electronic signs. However, felt that the external signs along Route 7 and Loudoun County Parkway would not only be distracting to traffic, but also would really be functioning more as billboards. And as such, they've recommended approval, provided the applicant not include the signs along Route 7 and Loudoun County Parkway. Staff is also in agreement with that finding, and there are no outstanding issues beyond that. If you have any questions, be happy to take them back to staff and or try to answer them tonight.
Very good. Are there questions at this time, Ms. Waters?
Have you gotten feedback from the One Loudon applicant whether or not they'll concur with the recommendation?
The way it has been provided to you in your packet is you have the option. They would like to continue to have those signs along Route 7 and Loudoun County Parkway, but we have separated the motions such that if you want to consider their request for those signs, you can break it off and then add it on if you want to.
Okay. Other questions for staff at this time? All right. Thank you, Julie. Next item is item number two, informational items, which is in your packet. Mr. Hemstreet, do you have anything you need to update us on?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't have anything to add. We did have one mistake in the staff contacts on the cover page for the information packet. That sheet has been replaced. That is the red sheet that is on the dais. The only other thing is that Chief Brower will be here tomorrow to provide his update for fire rescue and emergency management. And other than that, I do not have any additional information.
Very good. Are there any questions of Mr. Hemstreet? All right. Seeing none. Board members, the next item under number three, appointments. I've had a request by staff to nominate Richard Kluzik for the Planning Department's representative to the Affordable Dwelling Unit Advisory Board, and they've asked for us to suspend the rules this evening and make that appointment. So I'll move to suspend the rules. Seconded by Ms. Waters. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? Motion will carry 8-0-1. I'll move that we approve Richard Kluzik as the Planning Department's representative to the Affordable Dwelling Unit Advisory Board. Seconded by Ms. Waters. Any discussion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye. Any opposed? That motion will carry also 8-0-1. Any other nominations at this time? All right. Seeing none, we will go into the ceremonial items, as we have members that will be the recipients that are here. And let me just state for those members of the public who are here to make public input this evening, The time limit will be 2 minutes per speaker, so please just be warned on that. So, board members, at this time, if you will join me down in front, we will make our presentations. As a Board of Supervisors, we wanted to take this opportunity to recognize our Planning Commission. Having had the opportunity and privilege myself to have served on the Planning Commission, they are oftentimes, sometimes a little bit harder working than the members of the Board of Supervisors, spending long hours looking over applications, going through and reviewing the comprehensive plan, the zoning ordinance, and they spend a tremendous amount of hours for very little compensation. So, board members, what I would like to do, when I get to your planning commissioner, I'll call you up so that you can present your resolution of appreciation to that particular board member. But I'll start off first. Kevin Rudicelli, would you please come on up? And I'm not going to take time to read through all these resolutions, but Kevin, I just want to tell you how much I appreciate your service. You have served a couple of times on my request, and you've done an outstanding job. And you have served again as my at-large representative, and I think in this past year you've served as chair and been in other leadership positions. And I certainly just appreciate that and want to say thank you very much for all that you have done and providing leadership and work on the Planning Commission on behalf of the citizens of Loudoun County. Ms. Burke.
Oh, thank you. I would like to invite Gigi Robinson to come up. Gigi has been my Planning Commissioner for the Leesburg District. And boy, if there came something from Gigi, I knew it was thoroughly researched and it was very a job well done. And I truly appreciate all the time and the effort. And thank you.
I didn't see Erin here. Is she come? Nope. She isn't here. Ms. Waters, Mr. Clancher, come on down.
Bob has been my planning commissioner for 8 years, and I think we've made a tremendous team for the Broad Run District. And more than anything, you've been my friend and an ear to listen, and we have gone over many a plans together, haven't we? And he is an architect, if you didn't know. And one thing Bob has taught me is how to properly use the red pen. Not little strokes, one straight line. So thank you for your service, and thank you for everything that you've done for the county, for the Broad Run District, and for me. Thanks.
Mr. Burton and Peggy.
Peggy Mayo. Over here. Those of you who do not... Is this thing on? Those of you who do not know Peggy...
Where have you been?
Peggy is the grand dame of land use in Loudoun County. Although she has only been on the Planning Commission for this term, she has been involved in land use planning and decisions and advocacy for probably 20 years. A member, one of the original members of the Fiscal Impact Committee, with the passing of the change in the board and the Planning Commission, you and I heading off into the sunset. It's a passing of the old guard. And it is a passing of the old guard. And with Peggy goes a tremendous amount of knowledge, background, details about land use and plans and issues over the last 20 years. The county, Peggy, is going to miss you with your...
Cliff, come on down. And Mr. Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It's a real pleasure to have an opportunity to recognize my friend for almost as long as I've lived in this region, well over 10 years, Cliff Kearse. He's the perfect neighbor. Cliff is a tireless contributor to his community, father of three kids, been through some still in the public school system, active in the Scouts. He's been on his HOA board of directors, served as his president, managed to actually oversee its conversion from developer control to residential control. Thank you, Cliff, because I live in that HOA, too. He's the vice chair of the Planning Commission, and that's a reflection of his skill as a bridge builder, as a mediator, as a person that can understand the details that go with this job, and I knew that we had the right guy to manage the traffic and growth issues in the Dulles District when an actual air traffic controller stepped up and said, I think I can handle that because that's the skill set you need to manage traffic in my district. Thanks so much, Cliff.
Supervisor Delgadio, Elena Siska.
Well, young lady, I want to say thank you for helping out this old man and appreciate your putting in the time, 8 years, and I promise you, you'll have another four if you wish to have that four-year appointment since I got reelected. And I know Sterling needs you. I need you. You've done a fantastic job, taking a tremendous weight off these old shoulders. I'm getting to be geezer level now on this board. I think Mr. Burton and I and Mr. York, you know, York and I are now shoulder to shoulder, so you're going to help us out again. So I present this to you for your pass, and I'm looking forward to your future. Helena Siska.
Supervisor Buckley. Glenn.
Thank you. Glenn has been the planning commissioner for the Sugar Land Run District, and like the other commissioners, he has spent much time attending planning commission meetings and work sessions. We have met several times at the Corner Bakery in Sterling, always over a cup of coffee, and you have spent a lot of time, and you've made a lot of effort. And I certainly appreciate your time and service to the county, and I know the residents of the Sugar Land Run District do as well. So thank you. Job well done.
Valdis Ronas could not make it tonight. Did you want to say any words, Mr. Jimsey? All right. Very good. Well, again, thank you very much for all that you do and have done for Loudoun County. So congratulations.
And do we have members from the Cable and Open Video Systems Commission with us? Is there anyone here who can step up for them? No, they're all watching it on TV. All right. Well, we will present this at a later time, but this certainly was a contentious year for the issues they addressed, so we thank them for their service. Are there representatives from the Community Services Board? They're all out serving the community. Boy, they say these thankless jobs, and I guess it's true because you're not here to get thanked. You never know what happens. I will say very briefly, rather than go through the whole thing, that the CSB is relatively unique amongst the various service organizations people volunteer for, because the people it seeks to help prize, perhaps more than most, their privacy and anonymity. So it's difficult for us to even be aware as ordinary citizens of some of the things they do to make the community at large a better place for all of us to live in. But if you've ever wondered what happens when someone is having personal problems and they've got no one else to turn to, there is a developmentally disabled agency in government, a substance abuse agency in government, and a few others that can take care of your neighbors when they have no one else to turn to. And this is that board. These are the ones who oversee that. So just keep them in mind when you look to future opportunities for yourselves and your neighbors.
Thank you. Ms. Burke.
Could I call down Loudoun County girls volleyball team to come down here and join us? And of course, the coaches, please come down and join us. And oh, thank you. I think I remember you from last year. You all very well may remember that this is this. Hi. The Loudoun County Raiders girls volleyball team won the 2011 Regional 2 champions, and this is the third year in a row. Sixth year in a row. So we've seen you at least three times here, and we're delighted that you're here. But I want to read this. It's quite an accomplishment that you girls have accomplished. Whereas on November 15, 2011, the Loudoun County Raiders girls volleyball team won the 2000 Region 2 championship and became VHSLAA state semifinalists. And whereas on December 5, 2011, the Loudoun County Raiders girls volleyball team won the 2011 district Dulles District Tournament Title Championship, and whereas the Loudoun County Raiders girls volleyball team won the Dulles District regular season title for the sixth consecutive year, and whereas the Loudoun County girls Raiders volleyball team ended their season with 27 wins and 2 losses, whereas players Emily Solis, Gabby Serafin, Kelsey Anderson, Kelsey Slack, Jordan Leader, I say her last, Jordan Leiter, Jane Feddersen, Danielle Cullen, Megan Fox, Nicole Orndorff, Quinn O'Connell, Jenna Strange, Mandy Powers, Kristen Covell, Rachel Roberts, Katrina Kirby, Maggie Phillips, Taylor Hugh played, Taylor what?
Huey.
Played with skill, heart, and determination and were instrumental in leading the team to victory. And whereas players Jenna Strange, Katrina Kirby, Gabby Serafin, and Maggie Phillips made the all-district 2011 season of 2011 Dulles District Volleyball Awards, and players Jenna Strange, Katrina Kirby, and Gabby Serafin made the first team of the 2011 VHSLAA Regional 2 Volleyball Awards. And whereas player Jenna Strange received the VHSLAA Regional 2 Player of the Year Award at 2011 Regional Volleyball Awards, and whereas head coach Varsity coach Jenica Mathias received the coach of the year at both the 2011 Dulles District Volleyball Awards and the 2011 Volleyball Awards during her 2011 Regional Volleyball Awards during her 10th year coaching Loudoun County Volleyball. She recorded her 200th win September 8, 2011 at home versus Tuscarora High School. Her coaching and leadership skills will forever impact the team and Loudoun County high school sports. And then it goes on to list other accomplishments, but I'm just going to say now, therefore, be resolved that Loudoun County Board of Supervisors and all the citizens of Loudoun County congratulate Loudoun County High School Raiders, girls, volleyball players, coaches, and others on the outstanding achievement. And literally, there are paragraphs more to read. This team has been phenomenal, and it's very impressive. And this to the school, and I hope you'll say a few words to the girls.
Tell us about your team. Well, we had 10 returners from last year's season,
and then we brought in 7 more, and the girls spent the season getting to know each other and working really hard to make it states. And the girls, Brady goes to all the games, so they all know him, and he was very excited to come tonight. And the girls just give all their heart and all their play. They play in the off season. They play during the season. They work so hard. We have 3 already committed to college and 2 more of our seniors trying to go. So we're just really impressed with all their dedication to our program. Their parents and the community has all been very supportive of them.
And that's wonderful. And I'm sure their coach is very much appreciated as one of the better coaches in the county. So thank you very much. Congratulations and bye, Brady.
Kids are just absolutely wonderful. Our last item for this evening is to take public input. And ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to speak to the board and have not signed up at this time, you may do so by seeing the clerk to my left. Each member of the public that has signed up to speak will be given 2 minutes to do so. We'd ask them when you come forward to the podium, please state your name for the public record. The light will be green for 1 minute, then turn orange, signaling 1 minute remaining. And we would ask that you yield the floor when the light turns red. Our first speaker this evening is Gary Nicely. I have not seen him. To be followed by George Towser. Is George here? Come on up, sir. Following Mr. Towser, Jamel Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I'm here to present to you or voice my concerns in opposition to a proposed church on Hamilton Station Road. I am a longtime resident, 25 years. What I'd like to present, I realize this church is in for site plan review, and I know it's an AR1, but my concerns are that we have a neighborhood that maybe one family in that neighborhood would be even coming to this church. It's an established neighborhood. It was ex-farmland has now been purchased for this church. But I think on Hamilton Station Road in the last 10 years, traffic there is multiplied by at least a factor of 10. We have a lot of bicycle riders on that road. We have a lot of school buses on that road now. And I think that it should have some either a public hearing on it to voice other neighbors' concerns. I think that... I do know that they have a special exemption they're going to need for ball fields there, which are going to impact this area, at least for me personally, because I'll be right next to this church. I have horses. I have a swimming pool. The liability issues that would come into play in that are maybe not obvious to everybody, but they certainly could present a not necessarily a hazard, but it could create some problems for the other neighbors as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Towser. Jamel Scott, to be followed by Jeffrey D.
Good evening. My name is Jamel Scott. I also live on Hamilton Station Road. I want to say that I'm not opposed to a church on Hamilton Station Road. I find churches to be a good addition to a community. They help, they inspire people to be good neighbors and are usually good neighbors themselves. Unfortunately, I'm not getting that good neighbor feeling from this project. I don't know why, but the first I heard about a church was when the heavy equipment came rolling in and started tearing down the trees. The wind patterns have changed. There's substantial silt that's flowing out every time it rains. To date, no one has talked to any of us about what their plans are. They haven't discussed with us how their activities are going to influence our lives. That just seems like basic good neighbor behavior that I would expect from any decent person, not the least a church. So to date, I don't know what they're up to. I don't know what these recreation facilities or recreation areas are going to be, and I don't have a great deal of trust that they're ever going to tell me. I can't plan for how this is going to affect my life because I don't know who to talk to. They haven't come looking for us. So generally, I just don't trust what's going on, and I would ask the county to cast a wary eye at whatever plans they put out.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Scott. Jeffrey D. to be followed by Tripp Curtis.
Good evening. My name is Jeffrey D., and I'm the Executive Director for Loudoun Habitat for Humanity. I'm just here to express my thanks to all of you. I know this board. Many of you have come to our house dedications over the past 4 years or beyond that. We had two house dedications on Saturday, one at 35 Alden Court that Supervisor McGimsey was available to come to, and then Supervisor Burton came to our dedication at Aaron Peterson Subdivision out in the Village of St. Louis. So I'm just here tonight to say thank you to all of you for your support. I know there are some staff here that work with us. We're grateful to the staff and to all of you for our partnership through the community development block grants, the housing trust funds, and the neighborhood stabilization program. Through all that support, that has contributed to 10 of the 19 houses that we have built so far since our founding in 1993. And we're really looking forward to building more houses. As you know, Habitat believes in giving a hand up, not a handout. So we partner with men and women who believe in putting work into their homes and also taking a zero profit mortgage. And that way we give back to the community and contribute to stability for the partner families, and they're able to raise their children in a healthy and a safe environment. So I just wanted to say thank you. You have wonderful staff that works with us. They're right back there, and Sarah and Kelly, and thank you to all of you for all you've done for us, and we look forward to working with you again in the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. D. Tripp Curtis to be followed by Rick Wingrove. Mr. Curtis, are you Mr. Curtis?
No, sorry.
No, I'm just.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. We're here again. It's that time of year, I guess. I'm here regarding the Arborist Report and what I feel is the most recent infringement on the religious freedom we enjoy as Judeo-Christians in this community. It seems to be constantly under attack, and it's getting pretty frustrating. I was reminded today of that old adage from that commercial from Rust-Oleum, rust never sleeps. And it seems like some folks here are never sleeping trying to figure out how to shut this down. I'm a former certified arborist, so I was number 224th in the country. It's part of the original certification process. So I know a little bit about trees. Have my own business for 20 years. And I inspected the tree myself. The most recent report on file from the county for this tree, it was 2001 from the Heart Preservation Tree Service. The most recent report from the county horticulturist was last year. It seems that the concern is that these displays, whatever they are, whether it's the creche or any other displays, are going to cause damage to this tree. The guidelines that you've laid out for the displays don't allow for penetration of the soil. They're not heavy. The crush itself is only 200 pounds max, and the compaction that arises at this time of year is negligible. There are no leaves on the tree. There's no way that it can compact the roots. All that has to be done is regular fertilization. I know there's some over-pruning in the past. There are concerns about the decline of the tree, but if the cavity is treated and the fertilization takes place, I don't see any reason at all why these displays should not be allowed to continue. I think that it is wrong, though, for some of the things that are starting to be displayed to be done, and I think other people will probably address that. But the fact that there's going to be a Santa Claus on a cross, I think it's going to do a lot of damage to a lot of kids. And that's all I have to say about that. I hope that you reconsider this decision.
And thank you, Mr. Curtis. Rick Wingrove to be followed by Patricia Turner.
Good evening. My name is Rick Wingrove. I'm the Virginia State Director for American Atheists and the local organizer for Nova Atheists. And let me be the first person from the atheist community to wish everybody here a Merry Christmas. At my house, we put up a tree, we decorate, we celebrate the holiday with our family in a fairly conventional way. There's been some very hyperbolic comments from the religious community accusing us of trying to destroy Christmas. Nothing could be further from the truth. Having said that, we still think that the religious displays on government property are constitutionally improper. No one's rights are diminished by having to put Christmas displays or religious displays on church property. Your rights remain intact. The county does not have to let anybody on the lawn at all. There is no absolute right for the religious displays to be there. Most government property is already off limits. And for this property, you have to get a permit, which means it can be denied. In most municipalities around the country, it is denied. But if, as you found out 2 years ago, if you permit religious displays, you also have to permit, well, pretty much any other opinions. And this is all couched in terms of free speech. But for religious displays, it's not really a free speech issue. It's an establishment issue. The free speech today, we found out, was a thin ruse. And some people just don't like free speech except their own free speech. If you don't already know, a woman came on the courthouse grounds today and vandalized the first display that was put up, the Santa on the cross. The display is provocative. But in the United States of America, under our Constitution, provocative is protected. On the lawn today, a woman came in front of a film crew, or excuse me, a news crew from Channel 9, who taped the whole event. She took down the Santa Claus display. What makes this worse is that a sheriff's deputy came out.
Mr. Wingrove, I'm sorry, but your time is up.
The sheriff's deputy came out and asked the reporter to leave. We respectfully ask that you ban all displays on the courthouse lawn. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Wingrove. Patricia Turner to be followed by Malcolm Baldwin.
Good evening. My name is Pat Turner, and I live in the former Sugar Land Run District, and I'm one of the precincts that's now moved over to the Sterling District. First of all, I want to thank you all for all of your service to the county. No one knows better than you what an all-consuming effort it is on behalf of the citizens. And no matter what kind of issue or vote you have, by George, you're never going to please everybody, and somebody's going to be mad at you. So I really commend you for your service to us. I'm co-chair of Bike Loudoun, and I'm also on the Technical Advisory Committee for the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. We're currently working on a long-range plan for the Northern Virginia area. It's called Transaction 2040. But I'm here tonight speaking as a private citizen in support of the traffic funnel study. which you will be voting on. The 2010 CTP outlines and supports transportation solutions to minimize congestion that will occur from planned new development. However, we've already seen areas that present significantly more congestion than envisioned. We need to consider the most recent adopted land use forecasts for our region and employ such tools as MWCOG's updated traffic model. The proposed analysis will help identify additional options to relieve the challenging gridlock that we all support daily on our roads within the funnel. For these and other compelling reasons that are stated in that item, I urge you to approve the Ashburn-Sterling traffic funnel analysis and potential solutions. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Turner. Malcolm Baldwin to be followed by Greg Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm here simply to thank all of you that are leaving as supervisors for your great service to Loudoun County. You came in response to citizen concerns about the total cluelessness of the previous board about the costs of rampant residential growth and and regardless of and the dismay that they had for the inability to protect environmental values. And you've accomplished a great deal, and you've left the county in good fiscal condition. So for that, we thank you greatly. I want to thank in particular Supervisor Burton and Supervisor Kurtz for their regard for the rural economy, for those of us that live in rural Loudoun. They have been invaluable supporters. We shall greatly miss Supervisor Burton's fiscal analysis, pointing out ways in which Loudoun needed to avoid the pitfalls of fiscal irresponsibility. His analysis will not be replaced. I want to thank in particular Sally Kurtz for her service and regard for the rural economy. She has been indefatigable in support for both the suburban as well as the rural residents. And I had, of course, hoped to succeed her, but I knew very well that I would never be able to replace her, and she will not be replaced. Both Supervisor Burton and Kurtz have been conservatives in regard for the rural economy, understanding that the values of the rural Loudoun are important to all of Loudoun residents and are critical to the maintenance of fiscal integrity in the county. And for that, we are deeply grateful, all of us that live in rural Loudoun. Lastly, Mr. Chairman, I'm not saying goodbye to you. You will see me here pretty regularly over the next 4 years. So thanks a lot.
Thank you, Mr. Malcolm. Greg Hudson to be followed by Ron Wingfield.
Good evening, happy holidays. Merry Christmas, happy Hanukkah, happy Kwanzaa, or whatever holiday each of us in this room may celebrate. My name is Greg Hudson, and I am a resident of Loudoun County. I'm a resident of Leesburg, Virginia. Unlike some individuals, or at least one that I know of, that is a resident of Fairfax County, I think Reston, Virginia, and has been approved to erect a display on the courthouse grounds here in Leesburg. For several years now, I've been disturbed by some of the displays that have been put forth on the courthouse grounds, and this evening and today is again one of those. This morning's cowardly display by an erected Santa Claus dressed in a skeleton type of outfit was ridiculous, offensive, and absurd. Most importantly, what Mr. Heflin did was he erected this under the cloak of darkness, which I find, again, as being very cowardly. If we're going to speak freely and openly, it might be a consideration of the board to consider having times of days that these displays go up. And maybe that's the case, maybe I'm ill-informed, but I think that it should be done at a time when all of us can see what's going on, not under the cloak of darkness, quite frankly. It is my belief, and likely the belief of most within our community, that we should have the right to speak freely and openly, and I'm glad that we have that opportunity here tonight where some believers and non-believers are in the same room. But again, I think that as a board and as a whole, you all should consider, how are we going to move forward and do it as a community and as a group? Maybe it's by talking in these rooms. As a board, it may be not just saying, well, the first 9 people are allowed to erect a display. What kind of reviews are in place? Again, this is my first evening here, first meeting that I've ever attended, and I look forward to attending more to learn the process better and possibly getting more involved politically. But thank you for listening. Too bad time is up. Yes. Thank you. Happy holidays,
Mr. Hudson. Ron Wingfield to be followed by Michael Romeo.
Good evening. I have one word to describe what I felt this morning when I passed the courthouse square here in Leesburg, and that word is obscene. That best describes what I saw. The human skeleton dressed in a Santa suit and hanging from a cross should be taken down immediately. This display is one of the most distasteful, obscene, and offensive displays I have ever witnessed, and its grotesque attempt to ruin something that is good and wholesome for all. First, I support the freedom of speech in the First Amendment of the Constitution. However, I do not support freedom of speech or expression that is distasteful or offensive in nature. What is displayed on our courthouse square should be an embarrassment to Leesburg and to Loudoun County. I hold the right to have an opinion about matters that may differ from one person to the next. They are my opinions and beliefs. However, I choose to exercise respect for the rights of others and their beliefs and their opinions. Why is it that others do not exercise the same? How is this display wrong? It is wrong for those who have put up this display to force their opinion upon others in an offensive manner, and I stress offensive. What I see being displayed on our courthouse square is an abuse of freedom of speech. It truly encroaches on my right to enjoy my beliefs, something that I condemn. I personally am sick of those in this country who defame our country, Christianity, Jews, and now poor Saint Nick. It is for their own personal self-edification that they do this. Do they not realize that it's not good for, you know, children, our children who pass by there? Do you not think that they are traumatized by seeing Santa in a skeleton suit? I mean, Saint Nick is good. He's a legendary and historic, jolly old man, and he brings gifts
Mr.
to children.
Bill, I'm sorry, but your time is up.
Sorry, I
understand the
okay,
passion.
But thank you for hearing me. Okay.
Thank you. Michael Romeo will be followed by Steve Battleston.
Good evening, Chairman York, members of the board. Happy holidays to you all. Just like to say that I'm here. My name is Michael Romeo, representing David Paul and Steve Battleston, who are in partnership with the Evergreen United Methodist Church on Evergreen Mills Road to develop some recreational fields. And Mr. Steve Battleston is here to speak as well this evening on the Rural Recreation ZOAM, which will be appearing at the board business meeting tomorrow. As currently proposed, the ZOAM does far more harm than good to the development of recreation fields in Loudoun County. In response to Chairman York's comments at the September 12th public hearing, county staff has modified the ZOAM in a manner that has become even more convoluted than the version proposed by the Planning Commission. For example, county staff has questioned if recreation fields should even be considered as outdoor games and sports, which is currently allowed in the by right rural recreation use definition. If they're not considered outdoor games and sports, county staff proposes that recreation fields become a park use, which would require a full special exception. County staff is also proposing that a distinction be made between commercial and not-for-profit entities developing recreation fields. Even without these most recent county staff revisions, the proposed ZOAM contains 9 additional minor special exception criteria that would apply to all the zoning districts included in the ZOAM. These criteria would be added to the existing zoning ordinance that already addresses issues such as light and noise. To propose such an all-encompassing restrictions on the development of recreation fields in an effort to address negative issues of one paintball facilities is unnecessary. These issues, as well as the inclusion of a grandfathering provision for all applications currently processing, should be subject to a far more extensive review before the ZOAM is considered for action by the board. We stand ready to provide additional input on the ZOAM, and I thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you, Mr. Romeo. Steve Battleston, to be followed by David Reese.
Good evening. My name is Steve Battleston. I own a farm down here on Evergreen Mill Road, and I'm currently have a site plan in with the county to build some athletic fields. And I'm not sure if everybody understands how the ZOAM came about. There was a paintball facility built out on Route 15, and I guess everybody kind of thought it was, you know, not the best thing. So they presented this ZOAM, and you know, it's gotten to the point now where somehow or another athletic fields have been thrown in with the paintball facility. I started on this back in May when I first put my site plan in, and I've been through the Planning Commission hearings, the Planning Commission subcommittee helped with that, came back for Board of Supervisors meetings, and I think what's proposed right now is exactly what Supervisor York had requested be fixed, that, you know, that we didn't need to lump all of the uses in with the paintball. And now each step that has gone through, staff has put something more in every time it's come back. And I guess I'm just confused on where it's all going with this. You know, it's very expensive to get through the county with this stuff, as you guys know already, and it takes quite a bit of time. And if you know, if it becomes more expensive and more difficult, you know, we're not going to be able to do these kinds of things. And I think everybody knows that we need more ball fields pretty badly in the county. So that's it. I just wanted you guys to please take a look at this closely before you either approve or push it to a committee or whatever you decide to do. Okay? Thank you.
Mr. Madison. David Reese to be followed by Mike Manzoff.
Good evening. My name is David Reese. I'm a Loudoun County resident. I'm a Loudoun County soccer coach. I currently coach my five-year-old daughter and look forward to coaching my boy when he's old enough to play soccer. I'm here to oppose the Rural Recreation ZOM as written, which will be prohibitive in the development of new athletic fields, of which we're already short in the county. I see athletic fields as a positive use of space with zero negative impact, where family and friends in our community can gather for healthy competition in a family-friendly atmosphere. Due to the shortage of some fields, some of the leagues have actually had to turn away applicants in the past, which is sad to me. This OM will further limit opportunities for children to participate in youth sports and reduce recreational open spaces available to all county residents. In closing, I'm here to oppose the Rural Recreation ZOM, which will be prohibitive, and the development of new athletic fields, which we're already short. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reese. Mike Banzoff to be followed by Phil, and I apologize, and I'm not going to be able to pronounce the last name, from Monarch Beach. Mr. Banzoff.
Evening. I'm Mike Banzoff. I'm here on behalf of the Ryland Group. And since the November board business meeting, we've met with county staff on a couple occasions. We met with members of the board. We've addressed all the comments we received. The last ones I got from the county attorney, were dated November 23rd. We got the proffers signed last Friday, which is December 2nd. So we've addressed the vast majority of comments, and if I think in the staff report you'll see the marked-up version that Ron wrote, and you can see there are lots of changes there, and we addressed all of those. So I have the signed proffers as of Friday. We received more comments today. I couldn't address those comments. I just, you know, couldn't do them in time. But they're pretty minor issues. I think we can work through that. Staff has requested we have multifamily units in this project. We think you can do that under the terms of the ad. Staff would like us to have more non-residential uses. We think there's 90,000 square feet that can be in the project, too. But staff thinks to do that, we'd have to have another public hearing to do so. And rather than quarrel with the staff or whether you need one or don't need one, we're happy to go forward and continue to work with staff. If another public hearing is required, that's okay. We think it's a meritorious project. We hope you will allow it to proceed. It does provide a link of 621 from South Riding down to Cedar Crest. It provides an elementary school, provides 50% open space. And we think it otherwise complies with the transition area policies. So I can't speak tomorrow because it's a business meeting, but I wanted to tell you our comments today. I have, the signed proffers. I'll get them to Marchant tomorrow. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Banzoff. Phil from Monarch Beach to be followed by Joan Gorman.
Point of information, Mr. Chairman. But if we ask the applicant to be here so that we could ask them questions, would that be appropriate? He made a statement that he won't be allowed to talk. I wanted to point out procedurally that if he's asked questions by a member of the
body. Procedurally, if a board member requests, it just takes a majority to okay somebody. For the
thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Member
thank
of the
you.
Public speaking.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm Phil Rusciarelli. I live in Loudoun County for the last 12 years. I have two daughters and son-in-laws and seven grandchildren that live in this county and are citizens. I am very upset with what has happened here at this holiday, as I have been in several holidays ago. I say holiday. This is Christmas. 2 years ago, the Board of Supervisors approved the placement of displays on the Loudoun County Courthouse grounds. I respect the decision to allow citizens to petition and freely express their beliefs at the courthouse, particularly during periods that celebrate their beliefs. I disagree with my friend who was here before, who did not said that that should not be allowed. However, there are petitioners that have, through their displays and signs, flagrantly discriminated against Christians and citizens of faith. Would we allow signs that denigrate race, gender, or sexual preferences to grace our county courthouse lawn? Certainly not. So why, in the name of freedom of speech, do we allow displays that mock religious preference? This is not freedom of speech. It is nothing less than discrimination. And I implore you, the board, to immediately adjust and approve a policy that permits discriminatory displays that mock a religion and only seek to denigrate another's belief. These types of displays should not be approved, since they appear unlawful and prejudicial against a religious group, and I would contend a vast majority of citizens of faith of this community.
Thank you, sir. Joan Gorman will be followed by Jonathan Weintraub. Joan Gorman? All right. Jonathan Weintraub. And to be followed by Elizabeth McGurick.
Board, well, thank you very much. It's going to be sorry to see you go, so I appreciated all the hard work that you've done over the past 4 years. I wasn't really planning on speaking tonight, but a friend of mine emailed me and said that her son's display had been vandalized on the courthouse lawn. So I came over to take photos of it. And subsequent to that, I've been sitting here listening to other people talk about religious discrimination and religious persecution. And I have to just give a personal story, which is that I am personally a second-generation Holocaust survivor, and my father is the only person from his family that survived. That's what religious persecution is. It's not free speech. Free speech is not religious persecution. Now, we have a situation where one display has been vandalized, and the Loudoun County Sheriff's Office is unable to protect it. Given that situation, I think you have no choice but to bar all the displays. All expressions of free speech must be protected, or none of them. That's what the law of equal access states. I'm sorry to have to, I mean, you know the situation, you know the law. I'm sorry to have to bring it up, but that's the situation we're in. So I hope you do the needful. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth Kirk, to be followed by Wendy Woolley and Ms. Ray, Rosie Ray. Come here, please. So, is Elizabeth, are you Elizabeth?
Yes.
Okay.
Good evening. I am a Leesburg resident, and I am the mother of three young children, ages 5, 3, and 1, and I am shocked that the county would allow such a thing as a crucified Santa on the courthouse lawn. I enjoy spending time downtown with my family, but for this holiday season, we will be forced to stay away. This would incredibly disturb my children. I noticed at this meeting an earlier discussion of sign permits, so it seems that there can be some regulation of the content of a public display. As a Christian, I support religious displays of any religion's holiday, winter holiday celebration, but it seems common sense to me not to allow offensive displays that clearly mock and denigrate other religions. Thank you.
Thank you. Wendy Woolley, to be followed by Tamara Lanham.
Good evening. How are you all this evening? I'm here first to say thank you. Thank you very much for all that you have done over the last several years working on some of the big issues that we've had in Ashburn. We appreciate you opening your doors. We appreciate you rolling up your sleeves. We appreciate you coming up with creative, cost-effective solutions with us to really make a huge difference in our community. Of course, you've got something with Ashburn on your agenda tomorrow, so we wouldn't want to have you leaving your term here without having a little bit more with an Ashburn issue. And I want to just say a couple of words regarding MS6. First, we appreciate all that the staffs, the Planning Commission, and the Board of Supervisors have done to review the various alternatives to flesh out the best options for the traffic for MS6. We know that full-service access off of Claiborne is important because 10 of the 13 planning zones are coming from the south. With all that we know, I believe that the very best we can do is the preferred option with the signal on Claiborne. It addresses a major issue of providing access for the majority of students, has the least impact on wetlands, and is the best long-term solution with signalization of the intersection. If for some reason that is not possible to work out with VDOT, then alternative A would be the best as it has the best on-site traffic flow of the two alternatives. As we know, we are doing more with less on this site, and on-site traffic flow can become tricky with a smaller site. The dual drop-offs will best serve the students and keep traffic flowing smoothly from both entrances. In closing, I'm going to miss this board. I truly enjoyed working with all of you. I wish you only the best as you continue on to your next endeavors. Two of you will still be here with us, and I'm sure you'll hear from us, and the rest of us, don't be strangers. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Woolley. Tamara Lanham, to be followed by Lauren Huck.
Good evening. First, let me thank all of you for your hard work over your term regarding the Ashburn schools. As you have heard, we're very grateful that MS6 will be opening and become a reality. We are also glad to see how much the application has improved regarding access to the school from the time it was first proposed until now, and we are glad that both you and the community have been an important role in making that happen. I would like to speak to the economic reasons why it is important to have full-service bus and car access to MS6 from Claiborne Parkway. My friend Kathy Dorman, who couldn't be here tonight, ran the numbers for busing students for a Gloucester entrance versus a Claiborne entrance. If any of you have ever driven this route, then you know and are quite familiar with the approximate 2-mile difference. Now, some of you might say it's only 2 miles, but if one were to multiply that 2 miles by 4, 2 miles in and out in the morning and afternoon, so that is 8 miles a day without including activity buses. Multiply that number of buses coming south on Claiborne. I'll use the average for Belmont and Eagle Ridge Middle Schools, which is 25. Next, use only 50% of those buses to reflect the population transported from the south, even though it's commonly thought that more likely 70% of the students will be traveling from the south. Bottom line, 12.5 buses times 8 equals 100 miles a day, 200 school days in a year, that's 20,000 miles a year. That's 20,000 miles per year we're paying for with school buses getting 7 miles a gallon, not to transport a single child from their home to school, but only to go around an entrance. 20,000 miles and all that's money spent on gas, vehicle wear and tear. Not to educate a single child, but to drive around an entrance. Why don't we just light a match to our tax dollars? In an area of budget
Ms.
cuts.
Ms. Lanham, I'm sorry, but time is up.
Thank you so much for your time. Please support the preferred plan with alternative A as a backup.
Thank you. Lauren Huck to be followed by Ed Joseph.
Good evening, members of the board. I believe it's safe to say that everyone here agrees the preferred plan for MS6 is indeed the preferred plan. Tonight, I stand before you to say that if this preferred plan is not possible, then we must choose option A over option B. We can consider MS6 to be the heart of the student's education for their 3 years of middle school. In fact, for families such as my own, MS6 will be the heart of our family's middle school education for a full 8 years. Indeed, we can consider the traffic plan for MS6 to be like a heart as well. A properly working heart pumps its blood efficiently and quickly from multiple directions in order to prevent illness and injury. Option A for the preferred plan will create a properly functioning traffic heart that will best benefit our students. This option has much better on-site traffic and fewer traffic conflict points. Option A will provide better access for cars and for buses, Indeed, option A would efficiently pump our students in and pump them out from all parts of the community that MS6 will serve. Please help prevent traffic problems on the essential artery of Claiborne Parkway by voting for the preferred plan, or if necessary, the preferred plan with option A. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Huck. Ed Joseph, to be followed by Michelle Detweiler.
Good evening. My name is Ed Joseph. I also wanted to thank each and every one of you for the dedication and service that you've given to all of Loudoun County. I have to say that though I might not have agreed with every decision that came out of the board, I certainly respect the hard work and truly believe each and every one of you has done an excellent job making Loudoun County a better place to live in. So thank you very much, both for myself and my family. I, too, wanted to talk about MS6. And the adoption of the preferred option with option A as a backup. Reiterating some of what has been said, if you guys have ever driven down any kind of major intersection trying to do a U-turn through a four-road, four-lane intersection can be quite hairy. And that's what we would be talking about, not just buses. We're talking about parents trying to drop kids off, maybe high school students that have just gotten their license, like my daughter, who takes my younger kids to some of their activities. So if we could just get this cut through in place and have it done now and settled once and for all, we could definitely make it a better option for transitioning not just buses, but overall flow of traffic in and out of that new school that we're going in. Again, thank you very much for all the hard work that you've done. Thank you very much for getting this school in place. Last thing, let's close this out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Joseph. Michelle Detweiler, to be followed by Jack Housen.
Good evening. I'm happy to be here with you one more time to thank you for all that you have done for the Ashburn community and for the county these past 3 years. As I've come to know each of you really during this time, I want to express my special thanks to you for all the time that you have made to speak with me and to hear our community on the important issue of schools for Ashburn. And since they would have affected all the other schools, you've truly impacted the rest of the county by taking care of it. So thank you. I'm also happy to speak one last time tonight about MS6. I'm grateful that we'll have this school that will be on an ideal location to relieve overcrowding that can be walkable, beautiful, and very green in both senses of the word. As you know, in recent weeks, the questions have turned on ensuring that there's a fully functioning left turn into the school from Claiborne Parkway, since 10 of those 13 planning zones will be coming from the south. I'd just like to explain for the record what my concerns have been all along and why the preferred plan with the backup alternative A is the best option. With that fully functioning left turn in, the students can get there efficiently, safely, and in a way that helps the environment. Without them, all those buses will be forced to go around those 2 extra miles and would be deliberately hurting the environment. 2 extra miles just for the entrance is a lot of gas, and it isn't good for the environment or time or money. With a fully functioning left turn in, or without it, they would be stacking at Claiborne and Gloucester. And as you've heard, it's a very large intersection where a lot of accidents occur already. My concern is that we'd be burning not only time but rubber as people behind those stacked buses go through that intersection quickly. And I'd like to do all we can to not add more accidents to a tricky intersection. All of that can be prevented, the traffic, the tie-ups, the accidents, the wasting of gas, and hurting the environment by putting that fully functioning turn in. And of the backup alternatives, because there are 2 parent drop-offs, great new innovation. It will help to ensure that traffic gets off both parkways, Gloucester and Claiborne, more quickly. We'll have better on-site internal traffic situation with the fewer cross points, and it will be better for the broader community and commuters as well. Thank you for all that you've done for us, and I wish you Godspeed in all your endeavors. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Ms. Detweiler. Jack Housen to be followed by Emmert Elson.
Jack Hansen, I believe.
I apologize.
Good evening. Jack Hansen. I'm an attorney here in town. I'm appearing here mostly as a father of 3 sons. And I want to thank you for your service on the board. I doubt any of you probably, if you had known that the Scallop Mounted Santa would be in board, would have crafted the same policy that you would have. And I'm not sure what can be done now. I know that last night I was taking my sons to ride a Polar Express train. Coming back, of course, this morning I see a skeletonized Santa crucified to a cross. Obviously, as a father who wants to protect my family, as well as listening to the remarks of all the women in my office who wanted to go down and tear it down, I'm sure they were all cheering as it was torn down. Certainly is about as close as you come to a burning cross as I've ever seen. Certainly as offensive and direct attack. I don't think that this Board of Supervisors was served well by the council that crafted this policy. And hopefully, I don't know if it can be done now or in the future, a new policy that would allow for a number of petitions as a precedent before someone can get a policy will hold back such honestly quack garbage that was erected on the lawn of the courthouse, which no attorney, and I know the judges voiced opposition to the policy last year, want to see. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants their kids to see that. And hopefully in the future that will be improved, if not this year. Hopefully something can be done this year, and that stuff can be taken down. Thank you all for your time, and thank you for your service.
Thank you, Mr. Hanson. Member Alson will be followed by Larry Mendoza.
Hello. My name is Emmett Elsey. I'm the coordinator with Loudoun Atheist, and I've lived in Leesburg for, over 30 years, 28 in my current address. I didn't plan on speaking tonight. I don't have a prepared speech, but I came to listen, and from what I heard and seen so far, it's pretty disgusting. First of all, I'd like to say that government, and especially our beloved Leesburg, should not be in this religious business. You should ban all displays on the courthouse, all of them. I'll be glad to give up mine, no problem. Religion, if it was just silly and false, I'd have nothing to say against it. But that's not the case. It's harmful in every aspect of our lives. In medicine, in education, in separating peoples. I've traveled this world over 50 countries. 25 trips to Asia alone. I've studied religion as a hobby all my life. I've been an atheist all my life. Religion is patently false, and provably so. But it's no place for us. If you read the papers, some people say they're hurt by these anti-religious scenes, posters. I say I'm very offended when I see people killed in the name of religion, and that happens every day in this country and around the world.
Mr. Elson, I'm sorry, time is up.
That's all I have to say. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Larry Mendoza.
Good evening. My name is Larry Mendoza. I am a Lansdowne resident. Been here for about 3 years. Came here because of a job opportunity that opened up in Lansdowne thanks to all the development that's been going on here. And what I want to say is that with all this development, we will have a number of people that are going to be coming to this county with differing opinions on a number of issues. Some of us that come here are going to be atheists. We are going to be people that believe that government has no business in religion. And as a result of this board's decision to allow displays, I came here a year ago and kind of foreseen this happening. Do I like the Santa on a cross personally? No, I think it was in very poor taste. But I also want to remind everybody that the Santa on the cross, as far as I understand it from the individual that put it up, was supposed to actually have been a statement against commercialization of Christmas, something that atheists and Christians alike can agree, I believe. But instead of having a conversation I've seen some op-ed pieces in Elysburg today from Christians that are very, very, very negative towards us. Instead of maybe having a conversation in a public square, what we're seeing is vandalism. And I think that that is a big problem. My solution would be indeed to ban all displays, because this is, I guarantee you this is not going to stop, because more and more people are going to start coming on. And what are you going to do? Start filtering the kind of speech because somebody finds it offensive? I find the crush offensive. Have I ever vandalized it? Not one time. But this is going to become a problem. And my recommendation to this board is to really ban displays. And instead of dividing the people, we can all celebrate the holidays the way we want on our own property, in the churches, if you will. And that's it. And so be it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mendoza. Mr. Mendoza was our concluding speaker for comment this evening. Mr. Hemstreet, I had received the text, and since it isn't on the agenda for tomorrow, the text I received said the courts have made a ruling with respect to the Aldi fire station and that it has blocked it at this point in time. So please inform the county attorney. I'd like to have a report tomorrow on that. No further business, board members. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for coming out this evening to express your thoughts and comments and opinions. We stand adjourned.